Hello, I'm Joan. I'm a Canadian family physician who also works as a restorative medical educator, facilitator, and coach. I create spaces that rehumanize the work of healthcare. I'm creating this podcast to remind myself, as well as anyone else working in a helping profession, that when you are working and caring for your human patients, you are the other human in the room. Hello there, healthcare humans. Thank you so much for coming back for another episode of The Other Human in the Room. So if I've done my calculations correctly, I think this is going to be the very last episode of 2024. And I thought an interesting way to end this year could be reflecting on a theme that I hear a lot about and a inhuman story that I see repeated a lot in the many corners of healthcare in which I travel. So certainly in the education world, definitely just like in system planning and even into day-to-day conversations I have with colleagues, the phrase continuity of care is like a spooky ghost in those conversations. Definitely a very shame-filled idea, depending on how it's used. But unfortunately, I don't often see it used in a way that's not shamey. And I wish that would change, actually. So the purpose of this podcast is to offer what I consider to be an expanded definition of continuity of care so that we don't think we have to throw it out the window. I think there's a notion behind continuity of care that's actually really lovely, that would be a wonderful goal to be attempting to attain, but not in the way we're going about it now. So we got to start there, right? So when I say continuity of care, what do you think of? I've heard it used really to talk about going above and beyond for our patients. I have certainly felt it in my core as this sort of sole responsibility, certainly as a family physician. I'm actually curious, depending on your specialty, how much you feel the term continuity of care in your soul. Do you have a sense that it's something that you need to own? Or is that unique to certain parts of the profession? I'm aware of more than just family physicians, nurse practitioners, and primary care. I'm aware there's other corners of healthcare that also hold fast to this term as like an ethic and a moral value. So I know this is not just for family physicians and primary care providers, but I know that is certainly in my neck of the woods, it's a major term that is of great importance. And the way it shows up is it, you know, in some of the policies, in some of the ways that we're funded. So for example, in Ontario, the way that continuity of care is tried to reinforce, they try to reinforce continuity of care, I should say, is that there's a certain access bonus that I receive every month that is calculated based on the number of patients I have, I think. And if my patients instead go and see other similarly equivalent to me members of the healthcare system. So if they see walk-in clinics, if they just see doctors that are also family physicians like me, even if it's actually in settings that I don't work in, I get financially penalized and part of that access bonus is taken away from me. So that's a classic example of how the system thinks continuity of care should work, where it says you are failing to provide continuity of care to your patient, so I'm actually going to financially penalize you. So that's like one way that I would argue is not working and is not even really the definition of continuity of care we should be striving for, in my opinion. I have heard at least one, if not multiple people, utter the phrase like, I'd like to set boundaries around my patients. I'd like to not check my inboxes on weekends. I'd like to be able to take vacations, but I can't because I am continuity of care for my patients. It is like, we can turn it into a really like, I am the actual embodiment of continuity of care. So like, I can't get sick. Otherwise, my patients cannot have continuity of care. We have deeply internalize this notion as if it is each of our sole responsibilities to be the continuity of care for our roster of patients. And I mean, maybe this is obvious to all of you when I say it like this, but in case some of you are thinking, well, yeah, isn't that what continuity of care is? If that's continuity of care, we're sunk because I mean, that is impossible. Like, I'm not going to get into all the details of why that's impossible. I think I've gotten into several of the details of why that's impossible across a number of podcasts. But just to say, I mean, how could we possibly be the solely responsible for all the care our patients need? Like, we actually don't even actually think that. I don't feel responsible for providing surgery for all of my patients. I don't feel responsible for providing chemotherapy for all my patients. Like, those are not things I even consider to be within my scope of practice. I don't deliver my patients' babies. Like, there's lots of things that I feel quite comfortable not doing. And yet we still feel as if it's like, it's totally up to us to provide continuity of care, I guess, within the scope of our practice. But why is it that we think that? Why do we think it has to be up to us? And we may point to like, societies or colleges or schooling systems and say, see, they treated us as if it was up to us. Like the policy I just named, that billing policy, is an example of how the system poorly and ill defines continuity of care and ends up shooting it in the foot. So just to like put a button on why that policy is so terrible, in practice, what happens is, so some clinicians are so motivated to get their whole access bonus that their version of continuity of care is trying to cram in every single patient that calls so that none of them go to walk-in clinics. And so they work well beyond their capacity. It doesn't matter what they need. They're at the complete whim of how many patients want them that day. And yet, of course, even if they do that, there will be people who go to walk-in clinics anyway. And especially someone who's hyper-focused on making sure they're getting that access bonus, or even if they're like morally like hyper-focused on getting continuity of care for their patients, they're cramming in all these people. Which you do wonder if it's, you know, now you're on the like 30th person you've seen that day, how can you cognitively be keeping up with actually providing the kind of careful, thoughtful care that we know is required, maybe not for every patient, but for a number of patients in like increasingly complex healthcare that we deliver, right? But also, if one of their patients ends up going to a walk-in clinic or seeing another doctor, like many, there are many examples of physicians even like phoning up and yelling at their patients or sending angry letters. And I mean, if you've done this, I'm not shaming you for doing this. It makes sense when you're working in that mindset that now like that patient is hurting you. I just think, how can that be beneficial? How can that be therapeutic for the patient? Also, how can that be therapeutic for the clinician? It cannot, right? And so how is that promoting continuity of care? Do we care the quality of the care as long as it's continuous? Do we care if like what it does and how it fractures the relationship between the clinician and the patient when the continuity is breached, right? Like, anyway, just to say that policy is a classic example of a system poorly defining and embodying continuity of care. And we also think that like probably the college that oversees us, like that they would similarly say something about, yes, you're responsible for everything, you're responsible for continuity of care. I would like to just fact check that one. And now this is, I'm not going to find all of your colleges and read similar things. I would be curious if some of your colleges actually have policies that are inhuman and make no sense, the way that the billing policy for me makes no sense. I was happy to read that the CPSO, which is the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario, which is like the province in which I'm licensed, actually has quite a bit of nuance to their continuity of care policy. So I'm just going to read the like beginning piece of it because it illustrates the fact that, say, I'm worried that I'm going to get a college complaint if I go on vacation because a patient will say, hey, you didn't provide me continuity of care. First of all, that could totally happen because anyone can complain for anything. But in this case, the college policy would back me up. Because it says here, physicians hold a prominent and important role in the healthcare system and in turn are key facilitators of continuity of care. However, the college recognizes that physicians are not solely responsible for ensuring that continuity of care is achieved, as often there are health system level factors that are beyond the control or influence of individual physicians that impact continuity of care. It says like multiple other things. So it does have some expectations that we can decide if make sense or are possible within our capacity within the whole document about continuity of care for CPSO. But they acknowledge right from the jump, we know that you as individuals cannot be fully responsible for continuity of care. So in my province, I would love if the college would talk to the billing system because something's missing, getting lost in translation there. But in any case, in the meantime, while the system sorts out what the heck they mean by continuity of care, I have come up with my own definition because the old definition was not working for me. And if you still feel very deeply like, no, I am continuity of care, I mean, this is what leads to us not taking vacations. This is what leading us to feel like we can't tell patients no. We feel shame when other clinicians see our patients. So like when they go to walk-ins, when they go to eMERGE instead of seeing us, when they see consultants instead of us, and we blow past our capacity in order to honor this duty to provide continuity of care in a way that's totally impossible. And then tragically, what happens to a lot of us is we burn out and either leave completely, which would sever the continuity of care we've been trying to provide in the way we're thinking of it anyway, or the quality of care that we provide crumbles. We get more irritable with patients. We are more likely to call and yell at them because they went to a walk-in clinic. Like, you know, when we are acting in these ways, we're acting in ways where we are over our capacity, where we're burned out, where we've completely disconnected from the parts of us that are the ones that are capable of providing care to begin with. So it doesn't work to provide continuity of care in that way, right? So how can we rethink the definition of continuity of care? And the way I think of it is actually expanding the definition of continuity of care to make it an actual living, breathing definition that we could all get behind. So really, when we think of continuity of care, who's receiving the care? It's the patients, right? I stand behind and think there is a beautiful vision of what healthcare could be, which is that the patients experience continuous care, right? So one version of it could be, you know, no matter where the patient enters the healthcare system, they experience care. So it's from the moment they, you know, book an appointment, they're experiencing a caring attitude. They're experiencing care from that moment, right? And as they walk through the healthcare system, wherever they are experiencing continuous care towards them. So it becomes more about the positioning of it. Even beyond that, I think it is a beautiful vision that it would be lovely if we could achieve someday of having the patient not have to repeat their story multiple times. So having the pieces of the healthcare system actually speaking to one another in a way that that everyone is in communication and harmony with each other, where we can access the charts, where so that way the fragmentation of care is not there. Yes. And these visions of continuity of care are system level visions. And that is the only place that, in my opinion, any expectation of continuity of care should reside. So as one member of a system of healthcare, I will do what I can towards providing continuous care. I will provide as much caring care. Oh boy. You know, I will provide as much caring as is within my capacity. When there's moments of communication and collaboration with other members of the healthcare system, I will do my best within my capacity to offer that, to reduce fragmentation when possible. And that is me contributing towards continuity of care for my patients. And that's where I don't even know about responsibility, but that is where my commitment ends. It's the only place it could end. I cannot commit more than that, right? And when you think about, like, how would we actually accomplish that vision, right? So it can't be that each individual has to try and provide full continuous care for a patient. Like I've already illustrated, that makes no sense. That's a horrible, inefficient, impossible system. Instead, we have to sort of zoom out and view the whole system and imagine. So how could a healthcare system be caring towards patients as much as is possible? Well, we would have to stop thinking individualistically about each of our different parts. Actually, it would mean we have to let go of a notion that, no, it's up to me. I'm the one in charge of this continuity of care. Because there's some stuff, it's not everywhere, but have you noticed? Sometimes even within myself, I notice getting a bit territorial, a little defensive, almost a little competitive. Like, hey, I can do that. You don't have to do that. Oh, I'll do that. Like we take on more than maybe we need to because they're like, I know better than anyone. I can do that. Sometimes we do that even to our own staff. Like there's a task that an admin person could absolutely do, but you're like, oh, I can do it quicker, so I'll just do it. So a piece of continuity of care is actually understanding that in order for continuity to happen, we have to be collaborating within a team, within a system. It would force us to actually view ourselves as this larger organism, and contribute towards and receive help from and learn how to collaborate and communicate and rely on each other and appreciate each other. In other words, a major piece of continuity of care, if it was actually to spread through the healthcare system, would be about us learning how to care for each other. That is a critical piece because, you know, if it's true right now, and I'm sure it's true right now, that when patients enter different elements of the healthcare system, they don't receive caring. That, in my belief system, that's not because those individuals are like evil villains. Very likely, those are people who entered healthcare because they wanted to help people and are now very burnt out, very under-resourced, very under-supported themselves. And so all they have left is snappy remarks and disorganization and chaos, right? So we need to be cared for in order for us to provide continuous care to others. And that includes even administrators, et cetera, right? So that gets to the second core piece, which is the core thesis of this whole podcast, right? If we truly want to provide continuity of care to our patients, which we, like I just said, means that we'd have to provide continuous care to one another and be in collaboration and caring co-creation of healthcare with one another, the care has to be extended to ourselves. And yes, I mean sort of pat notions of self-care too. So like it doesn't count as continuity of care if you're not doing self-care. Like you could make that into like a bumper sticker and that would be fine. But I mean it on like a deeper level, just like well-rested, resourced, cared for clinicians and administrators and everyone who makes up all the humans that make up a healthcare system. Those are the humans that are going to be able to provide continuous care to the rest of the population. You know, it will include the rest of the population offering care to those in healthcare, including enough financial resources. But like, you see how it's going to be a project that involves actually all of us. I really believe the only way a patient will be able to truly experience continuity of care will be if they are empowered, taught to, encourage, and supported to provide care to themselves, as well as receiving care from others. Like this is a deeply interconnected, co-created vision. And that's the only version of continuity of care I'm interested in, you know, seeing money invested in, seeing quote unquote reinforced in any way. If for example, there are policies like the billing one I just mentioned at the top of the show, like those don't count. In my opinion, those actually fragment and fracture care. And so those are in no way serving the ultimate vision of continuity of care for patients, which is the whole point. I see actually in the future, I'm hoping to have some people on that on the podcast in the future that have like looked at different healthcare models around the world. And it's interesting in some places, for example, in primary care, the standard is for groups there not to be solo primary care clinicians, but actually physicians work at least in dyads. So like you never are the only doctor overseeing a panel of patients. You're always working with a partner. And like, that's how the system is set up. I think that kind of thing is really interesting. The only version of healthcare I see that could possibly be more sustainable, more caring towards us, will involve more deeper collaboration with one another. Because of that, I'm hoping to have future podcasts that are about like how we can get away from these sort of, you could say, monogamous notions of I'm the one and only doctor for my patients, or I'm the one and only clinician of whatever kind for my patients. I'm aware there are places in our healthcare system now. The one I'm thinking of is midwifery, which I'm aware usually you work in dyads or triads, and that's actually how you're set up. Like this already exists within our current healthcare system, even where I practice, and yet it is not the standard for the majority of healthcare. Instead, tons of pressure are placed on individuals. Like I think about nurses in hospital, and it's like, I mean, they're one to too many patients as it is, and they're the only nurse available unless they're cross-covering each other, and like how messed up that is, right? So I'm viewing a version of healthcare, like if we are actually committed collectively to the project of continuity of care, We have to think about what is caring for us, how it is possible for us to be resourced and supported enough to deliver continuity of care. And I think that is a standard we should be reaching for. I think that's a wonderful vision. But if any policy or procedure or expectation from an individual patient who says, hey, you're supposed to provide me continuity of care, so where were you 3 p.m. on a Sunday for my prescription renewal? Like, all those sorts of definitions that involve us being individually over accountable and over responsible beyond our capacity, I reject those notions out of hand. And so instead, I am presenting you this alternative. This is my expanded definition of continuity of care. And anything that doesn't honor and support that definition of continuity of care. So just to reiterate, continuity of care is only possible if it's viewed through the lens of patients continually experiencing care. So not about an individual holding that responsibility for even one other patient, much less multiple. So it's not about individuals at all. That continuity of care would only be possible to be delivered to patients if there was a standard, a culture of continuous care amongst clinicians with one another, and certainly for each clinician for themselves, feeling cared for, being offered care, getting the support they need to feel rested and cared for so that they could deliver that continuous care as a part of a collective to patients. That's my expanded definition. I offer it to you. I offer it to anyone who's in places of leadership or power. I offers it to you if you're an academic and you help standards of, how we assess continuity of care in our learners. If the definitions you're working with are at odds with what I've just said, I'd be curious how you're finding those are working out, because that's the problem. I think the only way we get close to patients experiencing continuity of care is to extend that care to us and to one another. So that's it. It's a short one. It's the end of the year. You're off on holidays anyway. But I wanted to offer this vision to you because I think the invitation beyond this one definition is, how else could we be expanding and disrupting and rethinking some of these standards that we have for ourselves and each other, and think of them more in that collective? How much of that pressure would we release from this internalized, impossible, inhuman story we hold within ourselves? When we expand it outwards to include the whole, how does that help your experience of healthcare already feel more human? When I picture this continuity of care as a whole system-wide project, I feel like I'm already contributing to it, and I know you are as well. And so I feel delight in the fact that I can think of so many examples of this past year of how I personally was involved in delivering continuity of care in a more powerful way to my patients whilst working less. So through my collaborations with my wonderful nurse practitioner and the other members of my healthcare team, through taking on a learner and mentoring her in order to deliver care, which means we literally saw more patients while she was here. And yet I also saw personally less patients, which is fascinating, right? I think of how it helps me redefine when I see that my patients have gone to eMERGE, when I see they've ended up in hospital. I can view that as me contributing to a team that is offering continuous care to that patient, because look, they're still receiving care in a different location. Thank goodness it doesn't have to all be me. Thank you to the clinicians who deliver babies and therefore I don't. Thank you to the clinicians who do other pieces of the healthcare system that I don't have interest or scope or capacity to do. I feel such gratitude and can already feel a level of caring towards them that then I get to feel reflected back to me. Whether they're feeling it or not, I can just imagine it. Imagine being a part of this larger whole, knowing we're doing what we can, knowing that the resources may not be there in a robust enough way for every single patient to feel it. We know we're very, very far from that goal. And I can already feel how I am contributing to that goal myself personally. And I don't have to feel any of that shame or guilt for the fact that it's a Monday at 3 and I'm not seeing patients. Because I know how much care I can offer in a way that's sustainable for me. And in that way, I'm contributing to my own continuity of care. And I'm staying in primary care for the long term because I have put boundaries around how much care I'm offering. You see? So I wanted to share that vision with you and that encouragement to you, and to offer you thanks and gratitude, whether you actually work in healthcare or not. So first, to all those who work in healthcare, thank you for contributing towards the continuity of care for our entire population, whichever population. I know not everyone's in Ontario, but like wherever you work, thank you for offering continuity of care within your capacity and boundaries to people. Thank you also for offering continuity of care towards those in your life and to yourself. If you're doing more experiments of that, celebrations to you. And to those of you who don't work in healthcare, everyone does in a certain sense. Whatever job you have contributes to the care of someone, and that impacts their health. So we all are actually the project of healthcare, in my view, you know. And so thank you for everything you're doing for whomever it is you're doing it for, including for yourself, including the boundaries you're setting for yourself in the levels of connection to your humanity and your body that you've offered to yourself this past year. Thank you for doing that, because that impacts me too, not in a way where you have to feel guilty if you're not, but in a way where I just want to offer appreciation to each of the people who are out there offering whatever amount of care you have capacity to offer to yourself and others. And I just think that is a beautiful thing. This time of year, and in this year where there's a lot of attention and focus on all of the harm we cause each other, which is also equally true, I want to just give a little space and credit and celebration for the care, the powerful care and love we also have capability of offering to each other. And what you pay attention to grows, as I always say. So I want to just pay a bit of attention and love and honoring to that as well. And so with that, I hope everyone who's listening has a lovely, restful holiday season, and a peaceful, and amongst all the different emotions, I hope happiness is one of them as we ring in this new year. And thank you for listening this past year. I always love hearing when people listen and are impacted by this podcast, and because this is absolutely one of the avenues in which I am offering care to the healthcare system and beyond. So if you've received any amount of that through me, I'm so happy and grateful that you have taken the time to do that for yourself. And here's to 2025 and a whole new year of figuring out how to rehumanize healthcare. Take care. I would love to take this work deeper with you. Visit joanchanmd.com today and discover my growing menu of options for restorative medical education to suit your learning needs. I offer one-on-one coaching, customized workshops, and self-study courses that allow you to connect not only with my work on a deeper level, but also with other healthcare humans just like you. So if you want to start humanizing your work in healthcare to a deeper level and do it in community with others, please visit joanchanmd.com and find those options and what fits you and your life today.